going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Emily D. Baker is a self-professed law nerd, and she has been there every minute along the way with the Karen Reed trial, both in the first trial and now in the retrial. And I feel like I've been there with her every minute as well. I've spent
you've spent an inordinate amount of time
16 hours over the past 2 days with Emily in my TV room. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning. How are you both doing?
Doing well. How are you?
We're doing good. We're doing good. I have you on the big screen TV in my TV room because I just pull up YouTube on my smart TV. Which
folks all over town have you on their phones as they're walking through the grocery store. Like you are here with us, Emily.
My wife walked in. She's like, I like her Kendra Scott earrings. I'm like, will you focus?
The important things.
Right.
Thank you. Kendra Scott reached out to me after one of the trials and was like, I saw you wearing my earrings. I'm like, I love them. Thank you for the amazing earrings. I think they're great. Thank you for making them. They're fantastic.
That is super
cool. So I have worn them forever because they are absolutely my favorite. But yes, I often get photos of people's pets trying to grab the earrings through like the screen or the TV because they move so much because I am so animated when I talk. And that's not been different the last 2 days. I have been losing my mind.
Yeah, so let's just, since it's been going on for 2 days now, I know we could spend the whole time right now talking about yesterday. Just real quick, to the phone number, 617-655-1234. If you have a question about anything that's going on with the trial, Emily does a great job of breaking it all down. So what did you think after, you know, we have a new prosecution here, the same defense team? What did you think about the opening statements and how both teams presented their cases versus the first time?
I think opening statements were much better this trial, particularly for the prosecution, than in the first trial. I think we saw a much clearer timeline from the prosecution. We also saw some change in their theory. They said very clearly, we're going to show you that Karen Reed clipped John O'Keefe with her car. Very different than the first trial where they were talking about her rocketing that SUV backwards into John O'Keefe. So a different style, a different tone, but even from the beginning of the opening for the prosecution, you saw new prosecutor Brennan trying to bring them into the story, starting with the tones going off for EMS and them rushing to the call. And then we're seeing him present evidence following along the way he did with the opening. So I think it's easier for jurors to follow what the prosecution is saying. And then I think the defense did a really good job of not pulling the burden onto themselves, which I think they did a bit in the first trial, saying, we're going to show you that all these people are involved in framing Karen Reed. This time, I think the defense really narrowed in on, look at all these things that weren't investigated. Look at what could have happened. Look at what could have been looked into and wasn't, and really focused on the investigation and how the investigation went or didn't, and really pushing onto what will the prosecution prove or not prove at the end of this case. So I think both sides had some really smart changes to their opening. And I thought they were both much more engaging. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's smart. We're seeing that in the defense cross-examinations. We're seeing them really follow that through line of there was no collision. And look at how interconnected everyone is. Canton's a small town. Look at how everyone knows each other. Not saying that that's necessarily wrong, but look at who wasn't interviewed at the end of this. And that's what they're going to argue. Everyone knew each other, but no one knew Karen Reed. And look at what police didn't ask. And I think that is a more restrained version that'll be easier for jurors to understand. And it doesn't require people to say, oh, everyone's involved in a very large cover-up.
And one of the things that I think is interesting, and we talked about this ad nauseum when it was happening, is all of the interviews that Karen Reed did after the first trial. And now, every yeah. time we turn around, we're getting another clip, or at least the prosecution right. trying to get another right. of her, of Karen Reed in her own words, saying, did I do it? Did I Did I clip him? Did I was an immortal? You know, all of these things. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what we thought it was going to happen, right?
It's almost like we could see this coming. Yes, it is exactly what we thought was going to happen. And I knew that this new special prosecutor and their team had spent time watching all of these unaired footage. Look, if you're giving me unaired footage, the best quality in a prosecutor is to be really nosy. If I can get uncut footage of an interview the defendant gave, I'm watching every minute of it multiple times. And we're starting to see some of that unaired, unedited footage of Karen Reed. I think the defense is going to argue when they get to it, if Karen Reed doesn't testify particularly, that those segments show her side of the story, show that she was asking questions, that she was confused, that she didn't know what happened that morning. I think we're going to see numerous clips about her drinking, and the defense will probably argue, see, she didn't remember. So she's trying to clarify. That's not a confession. That's confusion. And from the prosecution, you're going to say, look, she thought right after this happened, could I have flipped him with my car? And that's what we're saying happened. But the jury's going to be locked in on those because it's the only time they're going to hear Karen Reed's voice, the only time they're going to hear her speak, most likely. And there are some clips yesterday, or one clip yesterday that was used, that I think gives Karen Reed's version of events that she couldn't get in otherwise. Remember, the defense can't bring those interviews in. They have to wait to see what the prosecution brings in, and then all they can do is argue that more of the clips should be brought in. They can't introduce any of that. So when the prosecution introduces things they can use, it's a win for them, and you saw them a little happy about that yesterday.
A text from the 978. There's two questions here. Can you ask Emily if it is normal to have the same judge for a retrial? And then also, more of a technical thing, what is that lady doing next to the witness stand talking into that thing at her face?
I get that question from 40,000 people about every 30 minutes because we have not seen it in every state. That is voice dictation. So that's the court reporter using the voice dictation instead of typing. So that is the court stenographer. And yes, even though this is being broadcast on the internet, there has to be an official record. YouTube's not the official record, though we're seeing the prosecution showing the witnesses back their testimony from YouTube.
Okay, before
official record.
Before you answer this, okay, before you answer the question about the judge, we need to take a break real quick. 617-655-1234. It's Emily D. Baker. Everything that you needed to know about the Karen Reed retrial, if you have a question about what's going on in the courtroom or what the prosecution is doing or the defense is doing or how come they did this or does it feel like this, you can call or text 617-655-1234. We'll do more with Emily next on Mix.
Carson and Kennedy on Mix 1041.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.